All right, let's turn to the book of Matthew and chapter number 18. The book of Matthew and chapter number 18. And man, in Christ alone, what a song that is. Till He returns or calls me home. Here in the cross of Christ, I stand. What a hope that is and what a blessing it is. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, again, we thank You for this time that we come together and worship You in spirit and truth. And we thank You that in Christ alone we stand. And the hope that we have, that we can stand until You call us home. God, we thank You for that hope that we know that there's a home to come to. Just be with us as we open Your Word and we learn from Your Word, and we thank You for the opportunity to worship today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So we're continuing the study of Jesus discipling His disciples. And we come to Matthew 18 and we again remember that He is turning and going towards Jerusalem. And so He is setting His face to go to Jerusalem. But before He does, He has some training to do and some mentoring to do of His apostles. Today's message is titled, Discipling Humility. Now, when you think about that, discipling humility, you know, we don't like humility, but there is some humility required for us to be a disciple. So we think about the work that Jesus is doing here, and He's mentoring His disciples. And do you love to be mentored by someone? There's benefits of being mentored by someone. And one of the benefits of having a mentor is that the mentor might make you aware of things that you might not see otherwise. They might be able to lay out some things for you to, now, when you come to this situation, be careful because you might not expect this to happen. Or it might be able to develop in you some characteristics that you didn't understand that you needed. So having someone that has experience teaching you is always beneficial. And so, in this lesson today, Jesus mentoring His disciples is going to mentor them in the need for humility. Matthew 18:1, at the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto Him and set him in the midst of them and said, Verily I say unto you, except you be converted and come as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come, but woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee, it is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. And if thy eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye, rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell. Take heed that you despise not these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven, for the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. How think you, if a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and go into the mountains and seeketh that which is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoices more of that sheep than of the 99 which were not astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. So Jesus, we begin here in the book of Matthew, and it says the very first verse there, at the same time. Here, Matthew is giving us a time marker. He wants us to keep in mind where he's at in his storyline, and it's at the same time, and the same time as what? The same time as the same time as that he spoke of being raised again the third day. And the same time that he paid the temple tax. And the disciples begin this discussion. So at the same time, he just told them. Listen, I'm going to be killed and I'm going to be raised again the third day. And while that's still fresh in their minds, while that's still a fresh topic of discussion, the disciples begin to say, hey, which one of us is going to be the best? Maybe Peter goes to John. John, you might be the disciple whom Jesus loves, but I'm going to be the best when the kingdom of heaven. And John might say back to Peter, yeah, you might think that you're going to be the best in the kingdom of heaven, but you're too brash and bold for that. You know, they're amongst themselves. They're talking and they're discussing this about who is going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. If you remember from last week when Jesus told them that he was going to be killed and raised again the third day, they were only sorry. They were only sorry about that because they couldn't focus on what Jesus was really trying to teach them. They could not think about what was happening to Jesus because they were too concerned about what's going to happen to me. Like, you're going to be dead, you're going to be raised the third day, but so what? I'm going to be the greatest in heaven. You see, they couldn't keep their minds on what Jesus was telling them because they were so concerned about themselves. Luke chapter 9, and we're not going to turn there, but Luke tells us that Jesus perceived their thoughts. In other words, they weren't necessarily coming to Jesus and saying that. They were kind of discussing that among themselves and maybe even thinking it in their own minds. But can you imagine what that was like? And this happened more than once that Jesus knew their thoughts. Can you imagine what it would be like for Jesus to perceive your thoughts? Oh, by the way, he can. You know, whatever you're thinking in your mind, God knows all about that. So just keep that in mind. The next time you're thinking about that thing and you're saying, well, I just thought about it. I didn't do it. Well, God knows you thought about it. So just keep that in mind. But here they're having this discussion about who's going to be the greatest. And Jesus gives them a surprising teaching. He takes a little child, maybe like Mackenzie, brings her and sets her amongst the apostles. Now little children aren't always, you know, in a group of people, they're not always the quietest. Sometimes they get a little fussy and they need to be fed or whatever, you know. There's always something, and sometimes they want to go outside and play and whatever, you know. But Jesus comes and sets this little child in their midst and says, yeah, see, now I mentioned it and it's going to be trouble. So does everybody else. But Jesus sets this little child in the midst of them and he begins to teach them. The point that Jesus is making is really simple to understand. Except you become as this little child. What is a little child? A little child is generally teachable. A little child is innocent. The little child will believe you, right? I mean, you can just about tell anything to a child and they'll believe it, right? You can coerce a child. And so a child is humble and they're willing to be taught and their prejudices are few. And this is what Jesus is teaching them. You think you're going to be great, but unless you're teachable as this little child, unless you're innocent like this little child, unless you're humble as this little child, what did he tell them? You will not. This is powerful. You shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. You think you're going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? But unless you humble yourself like this little child, you're not even going to make it. Now that should have put it in perspective for them that Jesus is not, you know, pulling any punches with them. He tells them, and again, think about who he's talking to. He's talking to his 12 apostles. And he says, and except you be converted and become like this little child. So they needed to be converted. What does converted mean? Converted means turned around in their way of thinking. And so the thought should not be, am I going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? That shouldn't be what they're thinking about at this point. They need to be changed in the way they think. And you know what? Maybe that's true for us. Maybe there's some things that we need to change about the way we think. Instead of thinking about being great in this world, maybe we need to think, am I going to be in the kingdom of heaven? You see, we need to think about the way we think and the focal point of our thoughts. And is the focal point of our thoughts how great I can be? Or, boy, I just hope I'm good enough just to make it. What is our thinking? Are we looking about how great we can be? So Jesus is teaching His disciples that the citizens of heaven don't think about themselves. The focal point of the citizens of heaven is not how great I can be. Or not how great I can be on this earth. And what can I attain on this earth? The mindset of a citizen of the kingdom of heaven is not on self, but on the others. Look not every man on his own thing, but every man on the things of others. It's not about how can I be great, but how can I be great to others? Jesus will go on to tell them that the greatest is the one that is the servant of all. And so, it's a whole change of thought process. And this whole change of thought process is what happens in a believer. And a change of thought process is apparent in a true believer. Because selfishness and pride are not characteristics of a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. They have surrendered themselves. They are willing to deny themselves. And they're taking up their cross and following Jesus. So this far into the ministry of Jesus, and they followed Jesus now for over a year. Some of them almost two. Maybe two and a half. They're ending the time of their ministry or their walking with Jesus. And Jesus is still having to say, you need to change the way you think. You need to quit thinking about yourself so much. And there's a reason why that is. Why is He going to tell them to become as a little child? Well, Robertson says when he mentions verse 3 in his word studies, they were headed in the wrong direction with their selfish ambition. Gill says in his commentary on verse number 3, he says, unless you learn to entertain an humble and modest opinion of yourselves, and are not envious at one another, and drop all contentions and primacy and preeminence, and all your ambitious views of one being greater than another, in a vainly expected temporal kingdom, unless you change that mindset. You see, these things are not found in little children. You know, I've always heard this about the definition of humility. Humility is not thinking less of yourself. That's not what humility is. A lot of us think that. Oh, I have a poor view of myself. Or I don't think highly of myself or whatever. That's not humility. Because the focal point of your thoughts is still what? Self. Humility is thinking of yourself less. Humility is when what you think doesn't matter. When your opinion doesn't matter. When you don't have to have your way. You think of yourself less often. That's what humility is. You begin to focus on others and how can I help others? That's when you're humble is when you think of yourself less often. So the the teaching which Jesus is explaining is a teaching that will be necessary for these disciples because they're going to need to be humble in the future. If they're going to be able to do the work that God has called them to do, they're not going to be able to think about, I'm going to be the greatest in heaven. They're not going to be able to think about their own position. They're going to have to think about others because of the work that they've been called to do. Because you see, the ministry that they've been given, they're going to follow the example of their leader. If you turn over to the book of Philippians in chapter number 2. Paul remembers this. And he says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What mind is he talking about? Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. In other words, quit focusing on yourself and focus on how you can help others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. He surrendered his reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. What is the mind of Christ? To be a servant. And was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You see, that's the ministry that these apostles were called to. To surrender themselves and become obedient, even if their obedience leads them to death. Every one of them that's hearing these words back in Matthew 18 are called to death. Except for one, John the Baptist. And he was, or not John the Baptist, John the Apostle. And he was boiled in hot oil. So I don't know which was worse. He was exiled to Patmos. But you see the training that Jesus is giving these apostles? They're so consumed with their self. They're so consumed about what's going on in their own life. They're so consumed about where they're going to be in the kingdom of heaven that they're not going to be able to serve Christ if they keep that mindset. Jesus is going to teach them that, listen, you need to surrender yourself and humble yourself and become like a little child and willing to follow your leader, follow the one that is an authority over you, and to be led. If you're going to make it to the kingdom of heaven, you're going to have that amount of humility. And so as we go back to Matthew 18, verse 4, he says, whosoever thou therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same as the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? The one that is humble as a child. So what does he tell them? You're going to have to be humble. You want to be as a little child. And if you will be humble as a child and be the servant of all, that's how you're going to be great. Listen, you want to be great? Be a servant. Receive. Verse 5 says, And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. Now this is a dual teaching here because there is the lesson about this child and how that as a follower of Jesus, you ought to protect the innocent. You ought to protect the children. There's a lesson there. And when it says that if you won't protect the children, if you offend one of these little ones, it would be better for you that a millstone be hung about your neck and thrown into the sea or whatever he says in a little bit. Listen, we need to understand the call in the church to protect children and their innocence. But he's making an application here. You receive one of these little ones. To understand about the impact of the life of a child. So I thought about this passage. I thought about little children. And I thought about the suffering of little children. And who doesn't love a little child? I mean, we all love them and everything that they are. You love children because, I mean, they're so full of joy and happiness. And you know, you love the child and whose heart is not touched with the suffering of a child. I mean, you know, if an adult, if something bad happens to adults, sometimes you might think, well, you know, they made some poor decisions and they got themselves into that mess. But a child that's affected by the sin in this world, they couldn't do anything to protect themselves. They couldn't do anything to keep themselves out of that situation. We understand that when a child suffers, their circumstances are not of their own making. And we're more ready to help them. So when thinking about receiving one as a little child means to receive someone and not to be prejudiced concerning their situation. To not be concerned about the worthiness of your investment in them. Like, I don't know if I can help them or not. I don't know if they're worthy of my help. To receive someone as a little child and to serve them as you would a little child, not paying attention to the circumstances, not thinking, well, they got themselves into that mess, but to serve them because you're a servant of God. And notice he says that when you receive such a one in my name, you receive me. So when you minister to that person, it's the same as you ministering to Christ. And then he gets to them and he tells them in verse number 6, but whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. In other words, if you're going to offend these little ones, God's going to hold you accountable. It would be better for you to be drowned than to face the justice of God. And so, when he says, whosoever offends one of these little ones that believe in me, we recognize that he's changing the example from a little child to someone who is a believer, because little children don't believe in Christ. They're not at the age yet to believe. So we understand now he's changing the focus for us to understand that if you offend believers, you need to be careful with that. And so we want to understand that Jesus is reminding us, and he's reminding his disciples, that listen, you need to have humble service and not to be concerned about circumstances and to be careful about bringing offenses. And then we get into, from a simple teaching, we get to a serious trap. Woe unto the world because of offenses. Offenses there means a trap, like a snare. And so, listen, if you set a trap for someone, you need to be concerned about that. Again, if you're going to minister, if you're going to be my servant, if you're going to be able to accomplish the work that I've given you to accomplish, you need to be careful about the way you respond to others. Listen, it's impossible to live without offending someone because offenses are going to come. I mean, we're just, by our nature, we're going to offend someone. But it's a different thing to set a trap. So he's telling you, listen, be careful about setting a trap. And we're going to get to the point of this in just a minute. So Jesus warns of the woe to the one who causes offenses to come. And what will keep us from committing offenses? Humility. Humility. Those apostles, think about Paul. Paul's going to be stoned and left for dead. Right? And what does he do? He doesn't say, I ain't going back to that city anymore. You know what they did to me? They stoned me. No. He got up and went back into the city. Why? Because he wasn't so concerned about the circumstances. He was concerned about accomplishing the ministry that Jesus had given him. And how they had treated Paul was insignificant because there were sheep in that city who needed to hear the gospel. And Paul was going to take that to them. So as these 12 apostles are going about and doing the work that God has called them to do, if all they're concerned about is their welfare, if all they're concerned about is their own safety, they're never going to be able to accomplish the work that He's called them to. And they're never going to be able to seek retribution. They're never going to be able to set a trap for someone else. They're going, I forgive, and I'm going to go because there's a ministry to do. And so, what's going to keep us from committing offenses is being humble enough to know that an act of pride will keep us from identifying those who need to hear the gospel and doing the work that Jesus called us to do. And in order to drive the lesson home, a sheep teaches us. So we've had, at the same time, we've had a surprising teaching, we've had a serious trap, and now we have a sheep teaches us. Now, you know, you've heard the story of the 99, right? Before, that the shepherd leaves the 99 and goes and looks for the one lost sheep. But have you ever thought about that in the context of the passage of Scripture here? Have you ever thought about that in the context of what Jesus is teaching them? Jesus is teaching them the foundational, that is foundational to the work that He has given them. If they are only concerned about their greatness, they will not be able to be concerned about the little ones, right? If all they're concerned about is how great I'm going to be, what will they care about that little one that's lost? If all the shepherd cared about was his own greatness, why would he care about that one? He was like, well, that one, that's that old bad sheep, and it just went out on its own, and it's going to get what's coming to it. And listen, I can't leave these 99 to go after that one, because what might happen to 99? Forget about that one sheep. In order to do the work that Jesus has called them to, they're going to have humility so that they will not despise the little ones. And so they will understand the need to and be willing to seek out the lost sheep. Because if they are only concerned about themselves, they will not go out and seek the lost sheep. They will despise that lost sheep because, hey, it's cost me too much to go and get that one sheep. And so we need to understand the man, the shepherd, needs to be concerned about the little ones. He is not saying that sheep is not worth the effort. Every sheep is worth the effort. You know, I remember doing the books for a company one time, and there was a 10-cent discrepancy in the books. And I spent half a day finding that 10-cent discrepancy. And I thought, you know, when the boss gets here, he's going to be glad that the books, hey, the books are settled. The books are perfect. Nope. Wrong by me. Wrong thought by me. I got reprimanded. He said, how much I'm paying you an hour? Look how much more I'm paying you an hour than that 10 cent. You spent, like I was getting paid $10 an hour. I was paying you $10 an hour and you spent 4 hours finding, you spent $40 to find 10 cents. Here I thought that I was doing the right thing, you know, so the books would be equal, and I got reprimanded because, you know, that 10 cents wasn't worth finding to him. 10 cents wasn't worth it. So Jesus is trying to get us to think, and he's trying to get these apostles to think about the value of one sheep. I've got 99 sheep. Why do I need that one? You see what he's trying to get the point across? If you're humble enough, you're going to see the value in that one sheep. And you're not going to despise that little one. You're not going to despise that little sheep. You're going to recognize the value of that one sheep because the Son of Man has come to save and to seek that which is lost. And it's not the Father's will that any of these sheep perish. Not one sheep to perish. It's human nature to value one person over another. Right? That's just the way we are. We think they're handsome. We think they're pretty. We think they're rich. We think whatever. We think they're smart or intelligent or whatever. We value one person over another. We look at human characteristics. But the Father values them all the same. Why? Because we think one's characteristics make someone good and the other one not so good. That's why we put a value on one over the other. But what does God say? There is none good, no, not one. All we like sheep have gone astray, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And what Jesus is teaching then is the need to be humble, to go out and seek that one sheep, because Jesus said, all that the Father giveth to me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will nowise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. What is the point that Jesus is getting across to these apostles? The point is, don't be so full of pride. Don't be seeking your own greatness. Understand the ministry that I'm calling you to is a ministry of sacrifice. And if you value yourself too much, you won't go and seek my lost sheep. But you need to understand, the reason I came is to seek those lost sheep. And that lost sheep, none of them are going to perish. So if you're going to be in my kingdom and do the work that I've called you to do, you're going to have to humble yourself and be a servant of all so that you can seek the lost sheep. That's a great lesson for us as we're moving forward, right? We're going to do what God has called us to do and be what God has called us to be. We're going to have to think less of ourselves, think more about doing what God has called us to do, and be burdened about that one lost sheep, whoever it is, and to go out and find them. What's the mechanism that God has used to make this happen? Of course, it's the church. The church is the place where the work of God is accomplished. So today we need to humble ourselves and realize the church is the place where our efforts should be placed. That most of our energy should be given to our church. We ought to be humble. Thinking of ourselves less is going to be key to our service. It'll be key to the service of the apostles as Jesus implements in his church and gives it the keys of the kingdom. And they will be driving his ministry then since they got the keys. However, they can't stand in his place if they do not have this mindset. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who humbled himself. Jesus is training them in humility. And that's a lesson we can learn also. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, this time that we have been together. And I pray that you'll bless the preaching of your word and make it applicable in our lives. That as we go out this week and serve you, that with a humble heart, we will serve you and to do your will. And understand, that one lost sheep, we need to seek it because it's the Lord's sheep and he wants it brought back into his fold. Thank you for our time together today. Thank you for Jesus. In his name we pray.